In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Many happy returns. Today is the first Sunday of Pentecostal period. The first Sunday is known as Thomas Sunday, and actually it's a minor feast in the church. The gospel that was read to us was kind of split into two parts. The first part, actually, when he first appeared to them and they saw his wounds, the disciples, and they rejoiced, this was actually on Resurrection Sunday. This was last week, because Thomas was not there. And then it continues a few verses later where the Lord Christ appears to them again 8 days later, which would be, again, today, the second Sunday after the resurrection. And this time, he appeared to the disciples with Thomas as if he's going around from disciple to disciple healing anything that needs to be healed. He appeared, remember, to Peter, and he restored his apostleship to him once again because he denied him three times. He went to meet the disciples on the road to Emmaus to turn them back and give them hope and to know that he's alive. And now he's confirming the faith of St. Thomas and appearing to him again. Notice here that the first time he appeared to them, did he appear with the wounds or did he not? It said they saw his wounds and they rejoiced, right? So he didn't only appear to them and with his wounds because of Thomas. He appeared to them the first time and he showed them their wounds. And then the second time he appeared when Thomas was there again to target Thomas to get him to believe. So he told Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Why does the Lord Jesus appear in his resurrected and glorified form with the wounds of the cross still on him? Wouldn't it be more amazing if he would appear in a way that is completely healed? You know, for example, when we hear of Christ healing the man born blind or the man who is paralytic, there is no sign of their ailments afterwards. But why is it that Christ, when he rose, he kept the wounds of the cross still present with them? I think the first reason is to confirm his identity. And this is what he tells them in Luke 24, in the Gospel of Luke, when he appears to them, he says to what? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. So he wants to confirm to the disciples, who are now going to preach the resurrection, he wants to confirm to them that the same one and the same body that was crucified is the same body that resurrected. If he didn't appear with the wounds, what would they say? They said, well, the body is dead and hidden somewhere, and he appeared only in the spirit. But he wants to confirm that his resurrection is both in his body as well. To tell us what? That our resurrection in the second coming will be also in the body as well. And we will have that same glorified body that the Lord Christ rose with. So it's like the first fruit of what is to come in the general resurrection with the body and the spirit united together. The second is, as I mentioned, is to heal the wounds of St. Thomas. You know, St. Thomas said, unless I see the wounds and touch them, I will not believe. So, and Christ wasn't with them physically when he said that. So he appeared to him and he confirmed his faith. Why is this important? Because he's going to be one of the 12 disciples who will go preach the world about the resurrection and the life of Christ. If there's any doubt in his mind about the resurrection, how would he preach something that he's not sure of? Right? And the same thing, I think he appeared to Thomas, and actually this is what St. Gregory the Great said. He said, by touching the wounds, Thomas heals in us the wound of doubt. So any of us who may doubt, we really can relate to St. Thomas and say, you know what, he doubted like I doubted, and Christ appeared to him, and he believed without, you know, a shadow of a doubt, because he challenged it. So if I challenge it, I can look at Thomas and say, you know what, he challenged it, but he saw and believed, and he was doubtful, and I was doubtful, but now I believe. And of course, Thomas's beautiful response, and it actually, the Bible doesn't say that he actually touched the wounds. All he said was, my Lord and my God. He made the confession of Christ being God. Although Christ was glorified, he appears with his wounds. Another reason is to show us that the cross and the resurrection are one. And Abuna spoke about this on the Feast of Resurrection. We look at the cross, through the lens of, we look at the cross through the lens of the resurrection, and we look at the resurrection through the lens of the cross. They're inseparable. The passions go with the glory, right? So actually, in our life, there are wounds that maybe that we have that give us healing. So perhaps it's these wounds that will heal us. So I'll speak briefly about the types of wounds and how they can bring healing to us. The first, we have the physical wounds of the flesh. We look at people in the Bible, like, for example, Jacob. Jacob, he wrestled with God, and remember what happened when he wrestled with God? God touched his socket of his hip and dislocated it, and he had a limp. And this limp stayed with him for the rest of his life. It didn't go away. So everywhere he walked, he limped, and he remembered what? That I wrestled with God, and I lived. This is what he says. He says, I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So anytime he's in fear or in doubt or going to meet Esau and he's scared, he remembers what? I faced God, I wrestled with God, and I survived. I can go through anything now. So this changed his life. And actually, it's this moment where God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And Israel means one who strives with God or one who wrestles with God. Also, we see a physical wound of St. Paul and his road to Damascus. Christ, when he appeared to him, he made him go blind. The Bible says as if scales came down over his eyes and he became blind. He was going to Damascus to bind the Christians, but what he found was what? That he went blind, and that his soldiers now that were going with him were binding him and taking him to the church, right? And then when he went there to Damascus and he met Ananias, he was healed and his eyes were lifted to tell him what? That his physical blindness was a sign of his spiritual blindness that was opened when he came to the church and was baptized. Both Jacob and Paul, their wounds changed the direction of their life. Is there an area perhaps in my life where I'm moving with a certain amount of confidence and perhaps God is asking me to stop or to change course? Perhaps there is a wound in my life that is getting me to change this course or to delay a certain task. Sometimes the blindness he permits is part of his mercy. Also, we see Naaman the Syrian, who had leprosy. He was the general in the Syrian army, right? And then he heard through a servant girl that there was a prophet in Israel who does signs and wonders. So he said, I have nothing to lose. I have leprosy. This is a terminal disease. And there's no cure for it. Let's give it a shot, right? So he goes with them, and he goes to meet Elisha, the prophet. And Elisha doesn't come down. He tells his servant, go tell him to wash in the Jordan 7 times. And he gets upset and angry. And the servant girl says, you know, if you were told you to do something hard, you would do it. But he'd tell you to do something easy. Just do it and see what happens. And he goes. And as we know, he dips in the Jordan, and he's healed, right? So it was through his physical wound that he actually experienced a taste of salvation, right? He was dead, in a sense, and now is alive again. And the Bible says that his skin became like what? Like a child, as if he was a new baby, new, right? So he went from something that was sentence of death to the something that was renewed, right? So he was able to experience a bit of salvation, but it took this illness or this wound in the flesh for him to experience this resurrection or this experience of salvation. So some people experience God's healing from a serious sickness. So if I get really sick and I see God's sickness, God wants to touch that person with a taste of salvation, right? Or he saves someone from a severe accident of some sort. Again, this is maybe a physical wound, but it's also a taste of salvation. We also have emotional wounds. Emotional wounds, like if we look at the story of Joseph and the different areas of his life. First, he was betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave, and then from being sold as a slave, sold to Potiphar to be his servant, and then falsely accused, thrown into prison, you know, unjustly. So every one of these steps, we find that Joseph endures these steps, right? All of these wounds are certainly wounds that affect his heart and his emotion and his psyche. But with each wound, he learned to see God's hand in everything. He learned to see God's hand in everything. At the end, when he became second in all of Egypt and his brothers came to him, he told them and revealed to him his heart. And he said, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." So he says, "You meant to do me harm and to do evil, but God meant something good." So he took the wounds in his life and he transfigured them to be something for his growth, edification, and salvation, not only to himself, but also to his people. And this was a mindset. This was a change of mind. No one came and whispered to him this. This was a change of his mind. He went through this, and this he changed his mind. We also look at Elizabeth, who had the wound of barrenness. She wasn't able to have children. And maybe we can look at this and say, well, I'm never going to get pregnant for the men, or I'm not ready to have children. But the idea is what? That I don't get what my heart really desires. This is a barrenness. I really desire something in my heart, and God is telling me no, or I can't have this particular thing. This might be an emotional wound that I might carry. But this wound allows her to experience God's incredible power, His gift, and His blessings. Because what ended up happening when she carried this wound, if she had a child early in her 20s or 30s, she would have had an ordinary person, an ordinary boy or an ordinary girl. But because she experienced this wound, this emotional wound, God gave her whom? The greatest among those born of women, St. John the Baptist, right? So because of this wound that she carried, she was able to experience God's graciousness and His love and His honor and His blessing. We look at the person of Ruth, who had the emotional wound of grief and widowhood. She lost her husband in her homeland because they were there for the famine. And then when it was time, the famine was over, it was time to go back to Israel, Ruth's husband had died already. So she was left with a choice, whether I go back with my mother-in-law or I stay at home. And Ruth, Naomi told her to stay home because she was still young. So she had this decision to make. But you know what she said? She said to Naomi what? "Your people shall be my people and your God shall be my God." So she said, "I'd rather leave my people and go to your God, the true God, and I will bear this wound." This wound of widowhood, actually at the time, the people of Israel didn't marry from the Moabites. It was against the cultural norm. And it was something because they looked at them as being defiled. So she was going back with the idea that I'll never get married. But what happened through this wound? Through this wound, she ended up meeting Boaz, and then she went to Bethlehem, and she ultimately became in the lineage of King David, who was in the lineage of who? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? So because she carried this wound, this emotional wound of grief, it turned to be something that made her closer to God. And the same for us. Sometimes there is grief and there are wounds in our life that maybe bring us closer to God. There was a young girl that I know, many years ago. God give you all long life and your children long life, but she had a child who had passed away from SIDS, which is, you know, they don't know what caused it, at 18 months. And she grieved for several years because of the loss of this child. And I remember when when somebody spoke to her, she said something very profound that I won't forget. She said that while I'm grieving for my daughter, I'm happy where I am in my spiritual life, but I just wish I didn't have to go through this to get here. So she took this grief and she turned it into something positive, that she could grow from this and grow deeper in her relationship from God. Rather than blaming Him and going far from Him, she used this as something to grow from and get her closer to God. Lastly, we find the wounds of sin. And these perhaps are the self-inflicted wounds, or the wounds that we do because of our weakness of our human nature. We look at someone like David, who self-inflicted himself with the sin of adultery and murder when he went and sinned with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah. And the consequences of this sin were permanent and pretty severe and devastating. They had a child together that ultimately was taken. The child didn't survive. God took this child and didn't survive. And because of this, he broke another woman's family and he killed the person. There was strife in the house of David for the rest of his life. Well, his brother defiled his stepsister, and then that brother ended up killing him. So there was strife, and then the one who survived wanted to usurp him as a king. There was strife all over the house of David. We can say this broke the house of David, his family, right? Do I have, perhaps, but through all of this, what happened? Through all of this is that he coined for us the psalm that we pray every day, Psalm 50 in the Igbe or Psalm 51 in the Bible. This psalm is the psalm of repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your great mercy. So it's through this grief of his sin that drove him to repentance. And it was actually the fuel of his repentance for the rest of his life. To the point where some man tried to come and he was cursing David. And his general said, okay, let me, you know, take off his head. He said, no, let him curse me. Perhaps this is what I deserve. Why? Because he lived this repentant life. He didn't forget. What he did, the sin, was fuel for his repentance. Is there a sin perhaps in my life that I maybe deeply regret? What do I do with this? I can use this as fuel for my repentance. Anytime I think to myself, I'm good, I have nothing to repent about, or I'm filled with a little bit of pride, oh, remember that one sin. That one sin that you did that you feel horrible about, and remember God's mercy. Right? So let this be a fuel to your repentance. Let the wound of sin be a fuel to your repentance. But remember this when you cannot repent. We look at St. Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus. And he went and wept bitterly after he denied him three times. And the Lord appeared to him on the Sea of Tiberias, and he appeared specifically to speak with Peter. And we know that he restored him to his apostleship by asking him three questions. And the same question was three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And St. Peter's response for the first two were pretty much the same. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Because he's very confident, right? But then the third time when he asked, it made Peter think a little bit. Okay, when else did I act with all my confidence and I failed? Just a couple of days ago. On Covenant Thursday, he told the Lord, after the Lord told him that he was going to go to be crucified, St. Peter said, if you go there and you're crucified, I will never deny you, even if I die with you. And he meant it. But on that night, he became weak, as humanity does, and he denied him three times and cursed that he ever knew him. And then he went out and wept bitterly. So the third time he asked him this, he began to question himself and says, you know what? I can't trust myself anymore. And he said to him what? He says, you know all things. You know that I love you. So he says, Lord, you know all things. I don't know anything. I'm a foolish and ignorant man. You know everything. I am as a beast before you, as Psalm 73 says. All right? So this is what he said. He approached him with humility now. And then Christ says, okay, now you're ready to be an apostle. When you don't depend on yourself and you can be humble, then you're ready to go and be a disciple. So his failure taught him humility and to depend on God. Perhaps there's a failure in my life that God is leaving as a wound to get me to be humble and to trust in him. Lastly, we see we return back to St. Paul. But this time, rather than the thorn of his blindness, we can look at the thorn of his flesh. He had an ailment, and they say it was an eye ailment that made a bad smell, and he asked God three times to heal him, and God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God didn't heal him. Why? It says, St. Paul explains, lest I be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given me. So he said, God gave him this thorn so he doesn't get puffed up with pride. You know, St. Paul, he went up to the third heaven, right? He saw paradise. He saw words, things that weren't able to be uttered, right? He was a very successful apostle, and he did many miracles. So he says, okay, God left him a little bit of something to keep him humble, right? And this wound actually ended up being for his salvation. Had he been perfect and God healed him, perhaps he would have lost his salvation because of pride. So God allowed the wound or a certain struggle in his life to keep him humble. Right? So we see that this wound became something to keep him healthy spiritually, to keep him always depending on God. So we see the risen Lord who appeared to his disciples and to Thomas bearing his wounds on the cross, not because he had to, because he wanted to show them that through wounds we can be healed. And we spoke this morning about the physical wound and how this can maybe God leaves us, gives us these physical wounds, perhaps to change our direction, like Paul and Jacob, or maybe to open the door of salvation, like we heard about Naaman the Syrian. We see about the emotional wounds, in which they teach us that maybe the wounds can be transfigured into something that is good and positive and for growth, like we saw in Joseph, or allows us to experience his grace and his gift like he did with Elizabeth, or perhaps even just to simply draw us closer to him as he did with Ruth. And lastly, we see that how the wounds of sin can be used to fuel our repentance, as it was with David, and to teach us humility and trust in God, as he did with Peter. And lastly, perhaps can be left unhealed as a means of protection, as he did with St. Paul. The Lord rose and revealed his wounds to confirm our faith and the faith of his disciples. And these wounds that we carry can be transfigured to glory through his resurrection and through our resurrection. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.